It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's now been 50 days since Vladimir Putin sent Russian troops to invade Ukraine. U.S. officials say the strength of the Russian military appears to be waning against the Ukrainian resistance. And now this. Ukraine is claiming that one of the Russian Navy's most important warships, the Moskva, has been struck by two of its Neptune anti-ship missiles. This is important because this is the same ship that, back in the earliest days of the war, demanded the surrender of 13 Ukrainian troops who were on Snake Island. And those 13 Ukrainians responded with the now iconic Russian warship, Go F Yourself. Early fears were that those Ukrainian troops were all killed before they were, thankfully, discovered alive. So hitting this ship is not only a military victory, but a symbolic one as well. Sources with links to the Russian military claim the ship rolled over after being struck and has since sunk. Russia, though, says the ship was evacuated due to a fire. Sure. On the ground, mixed reports are coming out of Mariupol. Ukraine says the last remaining defenders of the city were recently able to join forces, thereby bolstering their resistance against Russia. Russia, of course, on the other hand, said 1,000 Ukrainian Marines who had held out in Mariupol surrendered, and that Russian forces had taken control of the city. The truth is that we don't really know what's happening in Mariupol. And all this is happening as President Biden on Wednesday told Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky that the U.S. was sending an additional $800 million worth of weapons, ammunition, and other security assistance. The Pentagon said those would include howitzers, helicopters, and Humvees. Back in New York, police on Wednesday arrested a 62-year-old man on suspicion of setting off smoke grenades and shooting 10 people in a Brooklyn subway Tuesday morning. Today, Frank James makes his first court appearance. He was charged in federal court with violating a law that prohibits terrorist and other violent attacks against a mass transportation system. If convicted, he could spend life in prison. But an interesting side note on how he was captured. Authorities believe that it was the suspect himself who called in a tip to the Crime Stoppers hotline with his location. The shooting left at least 29 people with injuries, ranging from gunshot wounds to smoke inhalation, but none of the injuries appear to be life-threatening. Again, from the Not Again files, sadly, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, police on Wednesday released video of a white officer fatally shooting a black man. The footage shows the unidentified police officer pulling over Patrick Lioya on April 4th. You can see the two men struggle. Lioya runs away. The officer tackles him. Then the officer can be heard shouting, "Let go of the taser," before he fatally shot Lioya in the head. Several hundred people protested outside police headquarters on Wednesday. Civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump, who has been retained by the family, called for the officer to be fired and charged, saying the video showed, quote, "This was an unnecessary, excessive, and fatal use of force against an unarmed black man." So if you plan on getting on a plane, train, or bus in the U.S. anytime in the next few weeks, you're going to still need to keep that mask handy, as the mandate has been extended for 15 days until May 3rd. The CDC said the order will remain in place to allow the agency to, quote, "assess the potential impact the rise of cases has on severe disease, including hospitalizations and deaths, and healthcare system capacity." The U.S. is now averaging 38,345 new COVID cases each day, which is a lot, but this daily rate is still one of the lowest since mid-July. So we already know inflation is bad. In the year ending in March, food prices rose 8.8%. That's the biggest 12-month increase since 1981. Serious questions are being raised about Senator Dianne Feinstein's ability to continue doing her job. The San Francisco Chronicle today reporting that one California member of Congress recently met with the 88-year-old senator and was so unnerved by their conversation that this congressman is now raising concerns with colleagues to see if an intervention to persuade her to retire was possible. So now, four U.S. senators, including three Democrats, as well as three former Feinstein staffers, and this California Democratic member of Congress told the Chronicle that her memory is rapidly deteriorating. They said it appears she can no longer fulfill her job duties without her staff doing much of the work required to represent nearly 40 million people of California. So we know the polling for Joe Biden is bad. A new Quinnipiac poll is pretty devastating to the Democrats. But I'm going to tell you about another poll that the New Republic released this morning. It shows that large majorities of both parties are worried about the near-term future of American democracy. Here are four striking results. 57% of Republicans say they view January 6th more as an act of patriotism than as an insurrection. 62% of Democrats say, quote, improving border security and restricting illegal immigration would strengthen democracy. Three-fifths of Republicans think mask and vaccine mandates are a serious threat to democracy. And majorities of both parties view new election laws giving state legislatures more power to determine the winner of the presidential election in their state as a serious threat to democracy. That last one is the only one that gives me a glimmer of hope. Here in Florida, the governor unveiled a new congressional map for the state on Wednesday. It creates four additional Republican-leaning seats while eliminating at least two districts now held by Black Democrats in North and Central Florida. Scary times indeed. And the roller coaster ride continues in Kentucky, where the Republican-led General Assembly voted on Wednesday to override Democratic Governor Andy Beshear's veto of House Bill 3. That's the latest restrictive measure that opponents say essentially ends abortion access by making it illegal to mail abortion pills, raising standards for minors seeking abortions, and requiring a public database of the names and addresses of physicians who perform abortions, among other restrictions. Several Democratic lawmakers tried to appeal to their colleagues not to overturn the veto, including Representative Rachel Roberts, a Democrat who shared that she was raped at the age of 14. The state ultimately voted 31-6 to override Beshear's veto, and because of an emergency clause, it takes effect immediately. With all the talk of people committing voter fraud in the 2020 election, it seems like the only cases that have been exposed are Republicans, like this one. Remember the former guy's chief of staff, Mark Meadows? Well, he was dropped from North Carolina's voter rolls amid an investigation into whether or not Meadows fraudulently registered and voted in the state in that 2020 presidential election. The New York Times, now also reporting on the story, says that Meadows and his wife, Deborah, registered to vote in the state in September of 2020, using an address where they never lived. They now vote in Virginia. Meadows, who represented a Western North Carolina district before joining the former guy's White House, helped spread Trump's false claims that the election was stolen from him through voter fraud. And finally, people were curious about the long silence from Elon Musk after he announced he wouldn't be joining Twitter's board after becoming its largest shareholder by amassing a 9.2% stake in the company. Well, the other shoe dropped. On Thursday morning, the world's wealthiest human launched a $43 billion takeover bid for Twitter. According to an SEC filing published this morning, the Tesla CEO sent a letter to Twitter offering to buy 100% of the platform for $54.20 a share in cash. That's a good deal. But Musk indicated that if the sale goes through, he would make sweeping changes to the platform, saying, quote, Twitter needs to be transformed as a private company. Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it. Sure you will. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.